The daughter.
The doctor?
Yeah, because you said the Lord...
Well, see, I shared with her about the miracles.
Right.
I didn't find nothing. I had the heart thing, and mm-hmm. her jaw just dropped. And mm-hmm. she said, I know that's the Lord, she tells me.
Right.
I didn't answer.
You didn't answer. Did you feel led to? Yeah. A part of you? Yeah. Those are things that we got to learn through, too. And one of the things I noticed about James, which was really neat, is that you're looking...
I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
The Baptist Church.
Okay, good. But you didn't ask the doctor. No. I know for some reason we get a little intimidated around, like, doctors or lawyers or... For some reason, because it's in our mind because of our society. You know what I'm saying? We tend to get a little... Well, they're not gonna say anything. I'm just not gonna say anything. We have a way of talking ourselves out of it, but little do we know that it's the Lord that's given us that platform, especially when we go into their offices. And a lot of times, what you'll see is we're going to be talking about things that they may be privy on medicine, but we may be privy on the things of the Lord.
Amen.
And where they may try to combat with wisdom, human wisdom. We just simply share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They can't combat that. They can deny it, but they can't deny the Spirit. His word doesn't ever return void. And so it's those opportunities where, if I can encourage you at all, run it all the way home. Run it home. Go the distance. And there's going to be times where we're not going to go the distance. Don't beat yourself up. But these are opportunities, too, that we want to make, as Colossians says, and I'll just read it so that I don't get it wrong. But it's Colossians 4. If you want to turn there, you can. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Make the most of it. And this is where it's going to come back to that verse in Corinthians we went over a few months ago. I'm going to be a fool for Christ. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to make up my mind right now. I'm going to be sold out for Christ. That's it. The world's going to look at me as an absolute fool. And they are. I'm okay with that. They're not going to understand me. I'm okay with that. Because my Father understands me. He knows where He sent me. And we're going after souls. We're not going after, as Facebook puts it, the thumbs up things. We're not going after the likes. We're not going after the approvals of man. Mm. But what we're going after, I want to say this a different way. It's not that I'm just going after a soul to mark it off on the bench. I'm going after desiring to care for that person. Enough to care for their soul. Enough to know that I may never see them again. I want to make the most of this opportunity. There's going to be parts and times where they're going to be talking to you. They're going to be talking to you, and they're going to be sharing with you. They're going to be reading off your list. This is wrong, and this is wrong. And you're not even going to be hearing them. You're going to be praying, Lord, how do I say what I say? What do I say? I didn't catch you? And they're going to go, well, I just tried to tell you what was wrong. And you're going to be praying about how you're going to share the gospel with them. And then you walk out of the doctor's office and they go, well, what'd they say? I don't know. I guess I'll be back next month. I don't know. I guess I'll get better. Well, what happened? I got to share with them about the Lord. What'd they say? I don't know. Sometimes it's going to go good by our perception. And sometimes it may not go so good by our perception. But like Ms. Diane said tonight, I obeyed the Lord. And I think that song was perfect that Mr. Ray ended with. And I will love the Lord with all of my heart. We're living in a world today where they say, I love the Lord with all my heart. But they don't obey His word. They don't obey His spirit. They deny, pick and choose parts of the word that they want to stand on. And I truly believe that not only does He separate His people from Egypt, but He separates His people from within His people. And the more I'm looking around, the more I'm realizing we are a true minority. And the more I'm realizing that we are the ones that desire to carry that cross. And the more you begin to take those steps and say, I'm just going to listen to what he's telling me. And a lot of times, he's just moving on our hearts, and we're just going to say things. It's not going to make any sense to us. We're going to go, that was not good. I just blew that one. And before you know it, they're going to go, okay. You're going to go, how in the world did that happen? Because it's the Lord, it's the Spirit. It's not even us. It's not even our words. It's not even how eloquent we put things. Are we just going to obey? And if we're going to obey and just say what he puts on our hearts, the Spirit will use it. The Spirit wants to use us. He wants us to follow him. And he wants to begin to bless us every time we do. So we're just going to open up in a word of prayer with these different things, and then we'll go into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you now, we have the many praises tonight, Lord, and I'm so thankful for those. Lord, the different opportunities that you put us in. With Miss Diane, it's very encouraging to see her fire. Lord, as she is just being faithful to do what you called her to do, and that is to proclaim your excellencies. Lord, to see Mr. Ray and his excitement just to be back, and to see Miss Roxanne as well, Lord, thank you, Father, for bringing them back both safely, and to see the excitement that he's having to come in these doors. Lord, I pray your blessings upon them. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that James and Andrew and Miss Stella had. And then, Lord, we also pray for this man and his children. Lord, we can imagine what he's going through. But, Lord, you know exactly what it is. We know you created this young man in his mother's womb. And so, Lord, even now I pray for your Spirit to go ahead of us, to comfort this young man. And as the book of John taught us, Lord, you begin to put the divine draw in him, Father, and that you bring him to you. It doesn't have to be to this church, Lord, but that he would come to know you and that he would have peace and that those children would grow up knowing the love of Jesus Christ and to become soldiers in your kingdom as well. And Lord, we thank you for the lessons that we learn, whether it be through drive-thrus, whether it be in doctor's offices, wherever it may be. But Lord, I do pray for this congregation that there would be a stirring of hearts, that there would be an excitement for the things of God, and there would be an excitement for your house and for what you're doing. Lord, I pray for this. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. But I thought that was a very fitting song there to close at the end. We're going to open up in Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. How late do we usually go on Wednesday nights?
8:15.
About 8:15? Okay. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 17. Few things we're going to be touching on tonight. The root of bitterness and some of the consequences that come out of it. I thought it was kind of funny how we begin to see when we just listen to what the Lord says, the joy that comes from it, the excitement that you see. But chapter 14, first let's talk a little bit about the Hebrews. Paul writes this letter. We believe it is Paul, but there's really not a name that's put on it. And we believe that there's a reason why he didn't put a name on it. And it's because he didn't want them to gravitate to him. The Hebrews were already gravitating towards external things, traditions, as Mr. Ray was talking about, rote. They were grabbing hold of the wrong things. They were putting their trust in the wrong things, sacrifices, ceremonies, washings, the things of the temple. They were doing external things, but that the heart just wasn't in it. They weren't doing it for Christ. There seemed to be a point in time where they may have made a decision, but they were starting to run out of gas. They were losing their endurance. You guys ever train for a race? I'm not much of a runner, but I know when I was younger, we used to have to run for football practice and stuff like that. But you would train for a race, and so you would try, and you would train really hard. Paul uses this analogy quite a bit as the athlete and the race and the running. And really what we are on is a race. It's a journey. And to walk with the Lord. And so you get ready and you come up to the line. You train. You're pumped up. You're ready to run. Think about it. You trained really hard. Have you guys ever had anything where you kind of trained really hard to do? But then you get to that line and you get ready to start. And pow! You hear that gun go off. And you take off. Now, real quick, right out the gate, you're running pretty fast, right? I mean, think about it. I mean, I remember like when I was first out to run when I was younger, I started out running really, 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 really fast. Do you guys ever remember that? Did y'all ever do that? And then you get about halfway to the end, and you'd be like, oh my gosh. And then the coach tried telling you, slow down. You got to pace yourself. But you run out of gas. Hebrews run out of gas. They're lacking endurance. What getting started out strong, but for they just started kind of lacking endurance. I think a lot of us as Christians can start out the gate real quick, wanting to do the right thing. I remember getting when I first got saved in that little old room, my mother-in-law's house. A lot of dreams in that little room, let me tell you. Lord, I want to do this for you. I want to do that for you. I want to do this for you. I want to do that for you. And I realized, and I came to a point where I realized, I can't do anything for him. All I can desire to do is follow him. And that when I do that, he wants to do great things with us. And so we come to that point where they were lacking endurance. Started out the gate real quick. Resolve. You know, you're doing the right things, going to church. You see this a lot with children that grow up in the church as well. They grow up in the church, doing really good. And then all of a sudden, some things start to come into their lives. And then all of a sudden, it just... the endurance ain't there anymore. Start to fall apart. Start to lose their confidence. They lose their hope. They have no more steadfastness, no more endurance. It's gone. They're grabbing hold of the wrong things. They actually thought that me going to church, I'm going to church. God ought to be happy with me today. Yeah. You know? I'm going to church. No. Where is your heart? Is it drawn to Christ? Is it drawn to the things of the Lord? What is it? So they were lacking endurance, and Paul writes this letter. But we're going to pick up in 12, verse 14. And I'll say this too. It's become Christ plus something else. It's just not enough for it to be Christ anymore. It's got to be Christ, something else. Depends on what age group you're talking to. For the young people, it's got to be a partner. It's got to be entertainment. It's got to be something. Get into the older group, well, it's got to be security. Or it's got to be a house. Or it's got to be a car. Or it's got to be a job. Get into the older group, they start thinking about retirement. They start watching those pennies. Is that enough money in the bank? It's not Christ plus something else. It's not Christ, and if I get this, I'll just be happy. Or it's I'm following Christ, but you know, I'm doing this stuff over here. And a lot of people can even take ministry and try to put it into that place. It's not it either. It's Christ, and that's it. Am I following Christ with my whole heart? And literally what I mean is, do I see the person of Christ as in this Word of God? And am I desiring to do what He's told me to do? Am I desiring to follow Him the way He's told me to follow Him? Not my opinions. Not my, I don't agree with that's, but I'll do this's. Not those. I'm talking about the whole nine. And God says, I want to see your heart. I want to see the loyal heart, the heart that desires to follow me no matter what. We started out the gate real quick. But what happened? The vigor. We come in out of the doors here. It's real easy to fool ourselves every Sunday and every Wednesday. We walk in and out of these doors. There's not one piece of excitement. There's not one, I'm ready to go to the house of the Lord. I'm ready to go to church today. I want to get my worship on. I want to worship the Lord. I want to praise Him. Where are those? This is what I want to do. This is what I've been made to do. But what happens with us is we begin to gravitate towards other things, like the Hebrews. And for some reason, we start to lose the endurance. We start to wonder what happened. And then it's real easy to begin to put that mask on. Real easy to do. And we begin to act like we're doing the right thing. But God sees your hearts. This is the point. Verse 14 opens up. He says, I want you to pursue peace with all men. He just got done at the beginning of 12 and opening it up. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. You've got to run this race. This sin has tangled you up. These external things that you're doing, it's no accident that we are in the book of Isaiah on Wednesday nights. Do you think God is trying to tell us something? It's no accident that we go through these books that we go through. None. We're in Isaiah for a reason. And it's not just to say, well, that looks a lot like our country. No, it looks a lot like me. I need to get real. God wants those who are going to follow Him in spirit and truth. And if you're not following in spirit and truth, then you ain't following. You stopped off at a couple pit stops along the way. Pursue peace with all men. It opens up, fix your eyes on Jesus Christ at the opening of 12, and then verse 4, he goes right into discipline. And then he comes into 14. Pursue peace with all men. It's easy to take the discipline of the Lord and begin to grow bitter. It's easy to take different things that happen in our lives and let that seed of anger drop in. It's funny because I was coming in a couple Sundays ago with Mr. Craig's class, and I found there was something sprouting up right out there in those bushes, and I looked for it tonight so we could pass it around, but it wasn't there. Did you take the acorn?
Squirrel got it.
Man. I pulled it up out of the, I mean, this thing was sticking up like this. I pulled it up out of the bush, and it was an acorn, and it had a root wrapping around the bottom of the acorn, and then that, was it a, I guess it would be the shoot?
Yeah.
The shoot came right out of that acorn, and that thing was sticking straight up. It was ready to do something. It was ready to go.
What the squirrel said.
Looks like lunch.
Yeah, he stole my acorn. We're going to have a talk. He messed up my lesson tonight. But anyhow, the point is this. Years ago, when Dale and them bought that house over off Kennerly, there was a picture with Michelle in the front yard. And that oak tree, for those of you who went over there, that oak tree she could put her arms around. 20 years later, it would probably take three of us to put our arms around that oak tree. That's how fast it'll grow. And that's how fast that seed of anger, if you let it stay, will turn into bitterness, and it will grow up, and it will mess up everything in its path. Everything. It would have overtook that whole flower bush, no issue at all. That flower bush wouldn't have been there. But that tree will grow up in your heart, and it'll take root. And that's why we've got to get it out. It's got to go. Can't stay there. But he says, pursue peace with all men. There's a reason why he says, pursue peace with all men. Because if you're pursuing peace with all men, we're living in a day and age, we can get in all the wrong battles as Christians. We can get in all the wrong races as Christians and literally tell ourselves, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. That's it. We can stand out there and we can pick it. And we can do different things and stick up for this candidate. And then a young lady will walk by us with another candidate's face on her shirt, and we'll look down our eyes at her. We've already built walls. There's certain arenas we were made to get into and certain arenas we weren't. There's one thing, we stand by principles and values, yes. But we've been called to pursue peace with all men. That literally means, given the opportunity, I want to minister to that person. I do not want to look down my nose at anyone. Because God, Jesus Christ, died for them. For them. And by me, all of a sudden, taking and putting my heart in the wrong fight will automatically cut off, I would say, almost, what, 50% of Americans? There's over half of the people you're sent to minister to and to witness to. Because you automatically put these walls up. We're in the wrong fight. We desire to see our country go in the right direction, yes. We desire to see principles and values, yes. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I say, Lord Jesus Christ, you're in control. I stand for you. And if you tell me to pursue peace with all men, then that's what I'm going to do. We can throw our hats in other fights, and we can take the fight and tear down other men that are involved in other things. We can begin to start fights by accusations and videos and things like that. God hasn't called me to fight that fight. He's called me to fight the good fight. Proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Proclaim the excellencies of God, as 1 Peter chapter 2, 8 or 9 says. Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight. That's what he tells him. Pursue peace with all men. You come into contact with Muslims. You come into contact with every different nationality in the United States that we live in today. It's easy to begin to put up walls and automatically just say, I'm done. I'm not ministering to them. But because we put our fight in the wrong arena. And that we've watched men under the names of Christ start fights in these arenas that would literally jeopardize Christians everywhere in hostile territory because they started a fight and they didn't pursue peace with all men. Now, are we to compromise on the Word of God? May it never be. Never. But we're not to go out and start fights. We are to pursue Jesus Christ with our whole heart. We are to follow Him all our heart, our soul, all our might. Build up the body of Christ. Be trained as a follower of Christ. It says make disciples. He wants you guys to be trained. He wants you to begin to carry His word. But He wants us to do it in the right manner. We can go up and build these walls and automatically be on guard against someone that there may have been a door there to minister to. You could come in my neighborhood and go to the park where my kids are. And it's easy to walk into that park and see some of the things that are going on there and for me to automatically look down my nose at these teenagers. But I said, no. I've been called to minister in this neighborhood and that's what I'm going to do. And it was almost instantaneously the door opened up, one after another, after another, after another, after another, after another with these teenage kids. None of them made decisions, but ultimately a seed was planted. It's easy to get locked inside our cozy neighborhoods and not desire to step out and minister in any way within the communities around us. Pursue peace with all men. He goes on to say, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. That very word sanctification comes from the word saint, which is Hagios, which comes from the word hagos, which means awful thing. That's what the word saint comes from. That Christ comes and brings an awful thing, you and I, things that we do, sin that we're drenched in, rebellion, disobedience, pride, arrogance. Man's pride is a killer. But then He comes and He says, I'll take this awful thing and I'm going to turn it into a saint by his blood on the cross. But that sanctification means holiness. And it literally puts it in there, the sanctification. Which comes also right after saints is sanctify. Literally means to set apart to God. We are set apart as believers and followers of Christ for God's will. That's it. If God's will calls me to go, then we got to go. That's it. This is what I'm here for. I'm not just here to punch a time clock 9 to 5 every day. No, that's my cover. And I've told you guys that. That is your cover. God has planted you where you are. That is your cover. That's it. You are a Christian. A saint. The Holy One is that word. A Holy One. Why? Because the blood of Christ. And that's what he's called you to. For the foundation of the world. That's who we are. I can't argue with him. I say, Lord, I don't deserve it. And he goes, that's why I called you. Because I loved you. I don't deserve that, Lord. He goes, no. But I love you. And that's what I want you to do. And so in return, I say, okay. There's nothing else I was made to do. That is our cover. Sanctification. You're set apart for God. His will. His use. Okay, with that being said, if you're trying to live outside of His will or His use, no wonder you're miserable. You weren't made for that. He's called you for the foundation of the world. As Jeremiah says, He wove me in my mother's womb. Paul says He called me from birth. He called me from the womb. That's who I am. I didn't know that then, but now I know that now. It's it. So if you're trying to live outside of His will or for His use as a Christian, no wonder you're miserable. No wonder you can't find joy that lasts. No wonder you can't find peace that stays. Because you're trying to live a double life. And we just can't seem to get real with ourselves. It's the sanctification, the being set apart. Pursue peace with all men. And the sanctification of being set apart for God's use and His will. So if I'm being set apart for God's use and His will, and I'm pursuing peace with all men, there is doors all around me. Because I know now, what is my goal? Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do. My feet hit the floor in the morning when I get out of bed. Lord, how may I please you today? What must I do, Master? He says, if you can't serve two masters, and you're going to be a master to something, so you choose this day. As Joshua says, you choose this day whom you will serve. Because you're going to serve something. And if it ain't Christ, it's going to be something else. The sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. To be admitted into intimate and blessed fellowship with God and His future kingdom. That word, and the very word from Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see the Lord. He hasn't called us to be perfect. But when you're following Christ and you're walking in love and you're walking in the Spirit, you'll fulfill the law. That's it. He's made it that way. I can't argue with Him. There's going to be times where we go, Lord, are you sure? And look, He says, I know your frame. I know you're but dust. David says in Psalms, you know my frame. He knows we're but dust. But it's going to be that part of Him, like with Diane and with Andrew and with James, and He's pushing you. He's going, come on. Come on. You're going to love it. Share with them how much I love them. Come on. I've actually knitted you in your mother's womb for this purpose. You think it's an accident that a young man rolled in to a point of being broken down? That was a divine appointment. A divine appointment. But if we're not walking in that spirit, if we're not walking and pursuing Christ, and if that relationship isn't open and growing, it's going to be real easy to walk right past that young man. It's going to be real easy to go, man, I'm sorry to hear that, and walk right away. It says, see to it, verse 15, that no one comes short of the grace of God. The very word short there is to be left behind in the race, and so fail to reach the goal, to fall short of the end. And that's the point. You begin to fall away. You run out of gas. Tired. You got the wrong power source. You're tapped into the wrong power source. You're not following Christ. You know why I'm so glad, I'm so thankful? He hasn't called us to run this race in our own strength. He hasn't called us to run this race in physical prowess, even no matter how hard we train. That ain't why He's called us. He says, if you'll just simply follow me, grab your cross and come on. Let's go. To be left behind, to fail to become a partaker, to fall back, to fall away. See to it that no one comes short. Look, you can't keep doing this. You can't keep doing this. You can't. Of the grace of God. No one comes short of the grace of God. God is good. That root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That root, the one spoken of, is who has but a superficial experience of divine truth, that it has not permitted it to make its way into the innermost recess of his soul. These are the persons that are given in to apostasy and induce others to commit the same offense, leaving where you once were loyal. Discipline comes in. Some people say things. I don't agree with what they're doing. And that anger begins to set in. If you let it stay too long, it becomes bitterness. That root begins to take place. But what it's really revealing is you weren't grounded. You weren't desiring to pursue and follow the things of the Lord. All kinds of things come in. We grab hold of the wrong things. It's easy to walk in and out of those doors on Sundays and Wednesdays and fool ourselves. Bitterness begins to take root. Anger, discontentment, whether it be with the church, whether it be with outside influence, politics, economy, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, mom, dad, some guy from years ago, Uncle Joe. These things begin to take place. And that bitterness comes in. And it's real easy. The different things that begin to take place, you begin to put on a mask. You walk in and out of those doors every Sunday and Wednesday, and you put on that mask, and you think you're doing good. I'm here. I'm blessing the doors of the church. At least I'm here. And it's real easy for these things to set in. But the funny thing about that root of bitterness, you think you can hide it. So you put on the mask. But what begins to happen is that root begins to grow. And that's not long before that little acorn, he becomes an oak tree. And you walk by that bush and you're going, man, somebody really ought to tear that oak tree up. It's going to tear up that bush out there, that flower garden. You can't hide it. It's all over you. You can't hide something like that. It begins to mess up everything. You stop believing God's in control, number one. So your faith is not faith. You're basing your emotions, your feelings off of what you see. You put on a mask. You look at your brother with contempt. You know, that look. Roll your eyes at your brother. Look down your nose at your brother, your sister, whatever it may be. You stop walking in spirit and truth. Your whole perception changes. Everything changes. When something happens, you can't even react in the right way. Because that root of bitterness has got in there and it's messing everything up. There came a point in that word, sanctification. You break it down all the way. And it gives you the word exciting reverence for the things of God. Cherishing them. That excitement for the things of God. Through the book of Ephesians, it teaches us to be mindful of one another. Be patient with your brothers. God is in control. It teaches us these things. Don't judge your brothers. Look, God's went to the deepest depths of hell and he's brought back gifts and gifted men, but also at the point in time where he's wanting to train those believers in that church. And there's going to be times where different things are going to take place and certain things are going to happen. And you may not agree with it, or you may even try to get angry at other brothers and sisters in the church. And you're not trusting in the Lord. You're not believing the Lord's in control. We give man way too much credit. And that root of bitterness begins to grow. Your whole perception's off. You can't even talk right. You can't even act right. You can't even interact right with people when things happen. Everything's off. No one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. The word trouble there is disturbance of the growth of a poisonous plant. A man who corrupts the faith, loyalty, character of the Christian church. It's trouble. This root of bitterness comes in, man. It causes trouble. It causes many to be defiled. Ephesians tells us the whole church that the proper working of each individual part causes that church to grow. And so if one of our brothers is walking in bitterness, if one of our brothers has come into this root of bitterness, you're hurting the whole body. You got to get it out. It's got to go. The whole body's hurting. We love you. We don't want these things here. It's got to go. I remember when I first started coming to this church, man, there was an excitement that I would see coming through those doors. I mean, an excitement, man. I remember coming here thinking you guys were off your rocker. There was something wrong with these people. A downright excitement to be at church and to be with each other. But over time, something happens. We start to lose our endurance. We start to lose our love for one another. We start to look at things, and it's real easy when you allow that root of bitterness to step in to start pointing at your brothers and start picking out every single fault they got. Matter of fact, you're actually looking for it. Told you he'd fall. But there's a point, too. There's some guys out there running, and they're following the Lord. They're going to stumble. They're going to mess up. Ephesians says we're trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. They're going to stumble. They're going to mess up. They're out there doing things. But the guy sitting up there on the balcony, he can see everything from the overview. So it's real easy to point out when somebody stumbles. But you won't even pick up the ball. There used to be an excitement, man. I used to watch walk through those doors. I used to watch the love for one another. There used to be an excitement for the things of God. That word, man, that sanctification. Excitement, reverence for the things of God. We literally cherish them. and that we got our eyes upon Christ, not our eyes upon man. It says that these things come in, many be defiled because of one. Literally, one root of bitterness can come up and many can be defiled from it. Because one man is not willing to forgive. One man is not willing to let go. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. A godless person like Esau, he sold his own birthright for a single meal. Now, I've often wrestled with that verse. The littlest things come in front of God. The littlest things. How easy is it for us to go, I don't need to be there? You've stopped cherishing the things of God. You've stopped being excited about the things of God. That anger, that bitterness has come in. You've stopped being excited about the things of God. He says, no. Our job is to say, we got to make sure. We got to call you back. That thing's got to go. But Esau, he didn't like the things of God. He wanted the inheritance, but he didn't want God. We live in a world today, and we learned not a couple weeks ago, Epicureanism has came into the church. Go get it. Bigger, better, badder, faster. Do it in the name of Christ. You know what he was talking about, the offerings earlier tonight? Plenty of oil. All that, those things that we can do, we kind of throw it out there. But really our hearts aren't desiring the things of God. They're not wanting to be around the people of God. They're not wanting to celebrate with the people of God. They're not excited about walking through those doors anymore. I remember when I first started coming, man, Faithful Forum was a thing you had to be at. You ain't going to be at Faithful Forum, boy, you crazy. You had to be there. That was like a woo, going to Faithful Forum. But now it's just like, if I can make it, I can make it. Different things, Wednesday nights. If I can make it, I can make it. You stop being excited about the things of God. Go with me to Genesis chapter 4. And what that does is that throws everything off in your life. It throws it all off. He's rescued you and called you for this purpose. He wants you. The spirit that he's created, he jealously desires to live in you. On the mountain, feet with boldness. He says, this is how I want you to walk. Verse 3. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of what? The firstlings. You almost get the picture. He wanted to spend time with the Lord. He wanted to be there. He was loving the things of the Lord. He's bringing his firstlings. I mean, you almost get the picture. This guy's, there's times where I'm skipping. Woo! I'm going to the house of God today. I need to be excited about that. We're living in a world where they're trying to water that down. And we're letting them. We're letting them. Verse 5, but Cain, and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Now this is, I like this one. Verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? It's like he's asking him that question. What? You're bringing me just whatever, whatever. You're showing up when you want. You're bringing me your leftovers. Why are you angry, Cain? Why are you angry? God's asking. What? why are you angry? Shouldn't God be the one that's angry? I really don't have no right to be angry, right? Do I have any right to be angry? I mean, I'm the one doing what I want. Why should I be angry? That's the point. When we don't just come before the Lord and get right with Him and just pray for that change of heart. Lord, I don't want to have an angry heart. I don't want to look at my brother. I don't want to have contempt for them. We're all sinners saved by grace. That's it. We're all going to stumble. We're all going to fall. Are we going to come beside our brother and pick him up? Or are we going to walk by and throw a little dirt on him? But instead, you understand what I'm saying? But that's the trick of us in our flesh. We think if we just come and give God second best, we're going to be happier, right? That's what you think. That's the lie. You're going to be absolutely miserable because you're giving God second best. You're not giving Him first. Read. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? It's almost like He's saying, I'm the one that should be angry here, Cain. But He's not. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Your flesh is telling you, if I give God second best, I'm going to be happier. It's a lie. God deserves our best. He deserves first best. That's what He deserves. He gave His life for us. He died on that cross for us. Jesus Christ got on that cross, took our sins, put them on His body, bled His blood, died for us so that we can have everlasting life, so we can walk in newness of life. Yes! Yes! That's what I'm going to do! And the flesh is telling you that if you give second best, you're going to be happier. That is a lie! And we've fallen for it hook, line, and sinker. That's exactly why. You will not be happy if you give God your second best. We haven't been programmed that way. He wants our first. But that's what we've been created for. He said, y'all are my people, a holy nation, set apart to proclaim my excellencies, and I want you to get out there and tell them about it. But see, we can't if we're giving them our second best because we got no confidence. We don't know the words to say because we ain't been in the Word. We ain't been reading. We ain't been here being taught on Sunday morning. We ain't been in the training station. That's what the church is. It's a training station. It's to equip the body for the work of service. Ephesians 4. That's what we're here for. Give them second best. You're miserable. You're trying to live a double life. I'd be tired too. I'd be war slap out too. But this is it. This is where it comes to get real. What happens is we let things come in and we hold on to that anger way too long and you give Satan a foothold. Ephesians 4 says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Literally place a stronghold in your life. Don't bring him in these doors. Get right with the Lord. For whatever reason, if something's happened, and you're angry, you're discontent, you're not trusting in the Lord. You're not saying, Lord, I know you're in control. And the rest of Hebrews from the beginning 12, maybe there's some discipline going on. It says, don't spurn that discipline. Lord, I know I deserve. Father, forgive me. I just want to get right with you today. And as Joel says, return to the Lord, man. Seek Him. Get right with Him. Do not let Satan have a stronghold in your life. And don't come bringing him in here with you. That's my point. If you give him second best, you're going to be miserable. And guess where he put that? The very beginning of the Bible. The very beginning. But if you'll give him first, and if you'll run eagerly, diligently seek him, Hebrews. I'm running. I want to give him the. I want to give him. Oh God, I want to give you my best. I want to get in the game. I'm tired of standing on the sidelines. Watch what will happen in your lives. It is a promise, man. But if you stand on the sidelines, you're going to be miserable. You got to get in the game. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you came so that we could have life. Lord Jesus, you came and you tell us in John, Father, that you came so that we could have fullness of joy. We shouldn't be walking around with our heads held down. Fullness of joy is complete. You've called us to be lights in this dark world. You told us that we would have peace, Lord, in you. Father, I pray for this body. I pray for the excitement to return, Lord, for the things of God. I pray, Lord, please, Father, cleanse our hearts tonight. Whatever bitterness or root or anger that may be in there, Father, that you would begin to take it out. May we become humbly before you and say, Lord, I don't know what's better. You do. And I'm going to trust you. And that by faith, Lord, I know you're doing good and I know that you're working in these situations. I don't have to be in control of anything and I don't have to know everything that's going on. All I need to do is follow you and you'll take me to the right place. Lord Jesus, if there is anybody here tonight, Father, that has allowed these things into their lives, don't let them leave without getting right with you first, Father. If there's anyone, Lord, that has not made that decision and they realize that Jesus Christ came to die on that cross for us, Lord, but that the reason why he came was so that we could have life. This is the good news, Father. We don't have to walk around worrying anymore. We don't have to be concerned about death. We don't have to be concerned about always missing the mark. Because, Lord, you died for those sins. They're yours. They belong to you. They're not ours. Lord Jesus, I pray that this would be a day that if they have not made that decision, but, Lord, they would. They would put their trust in you tonight. They would say, I trust that you are the way, Lord. And Lord Jesus, they would confess and commit their lives to you. So Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.